You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, it's a Thursday. It's hour one. Dan and the Danettes. Dan Patrick Show. Come on in. Stay a while. A lot to recap. And we get ready for the Nets and the Bucks game six. Hawks over the 76ers last night. And the Hawks, the pesky Hawks, are up 3-2 in this series. Clippers over the Jazz. Typical Clippers. Yep, they're not going to win this game. And then they do. They're up 3-2 in the series. Come up with a poll question, play of the day, stat of the day. Say good morning to our TV partner. That's Peacock, our streaming service. Download the app. Watch all 3 hours for free. And our radio affiliates around the country. Of course, the Fox Sports Radio lineup, iHeart Radio as well. The gang is here. If last night's 76ers Jazz losses taught us anything, it's the number one seed doesn't mean that much. Both teams were at home. Both teams favored. 76ers blew a 26-point lead. Jazz couldn't take advantage of a Clippers team that didn't have Kawhi Leonard. These games are a reminder that the playoffs are a whole different ballgame than the regular season. Philadelphia is trying to hide Ben Simmons' poor free throw shooting in the regular season. And they did a pretty good job. But in the playoffs, oh, it's front and center. We'll hear from Ben coming up in a moment. The Jazz, a great three-point shooting team during the regular season. And they were last night in the first half. They were 17 of 30 from three-point range in the first half. That's what teams do for an entire game. But the Clippers were only down 5 at halftime, thanks to Paul George. That's what I thought was really telling. The Jazz were doing what the Jazz did during the regular season, and it didn't matter. The Clippers weren't going away. 17 threes in the first half, 3 in the second half. Now, neither series is over. Can you count on the Clippers to close out the Jazz game 6? What about the Hawks? Can they close out the 76ers? We'll see how both of these teams respond to the pressure, or if they're going to blow a great opportunity to have a deep postseason run. You got the Nets, who were sort of on the ropes a little bit. The Lakers aren't in there. This is wide open. And there's going to be some coaches, some GMs, some owners who say, we had a great opportunity. We missed an opportunity here to try to slip in and maybe steal an NBA championship. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. We'll start with the 76ers blowing that lead. Here's Doc Rivers, the 76ers head coach.
Listen, we scored 19 points and gave up 40. So it's on us, it's on all of us, it's on me, it's on the players, and we have to figure out how to get back up, which we will, and bring this game back here for game 7.
And then you have Ben Simmons, who finally admitted what most of us thought when it comes to shooting free throws.
Even though you've never been the best free throw shooter, do you feel at this point, your problem is more mental than with form?
Definitely, I think mental. We were up. We had it. And I think we just gave it to them. We got too comfortable and didn't play the way we should be playing.
When you say it's mental, that's big. He's 4 of 14 from the line. He was 22 for 67 for the playoffs. That's 32%. In NBA history, among the players who have attempted at least 40 free throws in the postseason, only Ben Wallace has a worse postseason free throw percentage, and he shot 27%.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
Can't be a superstar and a liability. You can't. And that's what you have with Ben Simmons. I know Doc Rivers is trying to say the right things about Ben Simmons. And for everybody who tells me, you know, he's unique and he puts pressure on the defense and he can get to the hoop and he can. First of all, he's like Lonzo Ball. He's a taller left-handed version of Lonzo Ball. In fact, Lonzo might be a better shooter than him. But he's a liability because he doesn't want to take it to the hoop now because he doesn't want to get fouled. He doesn't want to go to the free throw line. He hurts you in a variety of ways here. Oh, he's a walking mismatch. He's like Magic. He can take over a game, doesn't have to score. I haven't seen it. hey, he can rebound and he can pass. And okay, but he's a liability. And maybe he's just a good player. He's not great. He's good. Joel Embiid is great. But the mental part of this is sad. Because I don't root against Ben Simmons. You know, I want to see great players be great. But when it gets to be mental, that's different. And we've seen this before. We've seen athletes who it gets to them. It happens in golf all the time. You know, quarterbacks, they see ghosts. You know, they see things that aren't there. Baseball players, hey, I can't even throw the ball over to first base from second base. I can't throw it back to the pitcher. I'm on the mound. I can't throw it to the catcher. The mental aspect of this is something very, very serious. Now, it's just free throws, but it metastasizes. It becomes more than that. And then on, you know, when you get to the playoffs, now everybody sees it. If Ben Simmons goes 4-for-14 from the line during a regular season game against the Hawks in February, no one cares. Suddenly everybody cares. And for him to say it's mental, it's one thing to think it. It's another thing to say it. This program is brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. If you're looking for that last minute gift for Father's Day, you can go to dollarshaveclub.com/Patrick. dollarshaveclub.com/Patrick. As for the Clippers, Paul George did what Paul George is supposed to do. You were the franchise player in Indiana, Oklahoma City. You finished top three MVP one year, and you've lived in Kawhi's shadow. There was no Kawhi, no shadow, and he was wonderful last night. Here is Paul George after last night's win.
It was just no secret coming into this. My teammates trust me. T-Lew trusted me. And, you know, I thought we lived in a moment, and we just played our hearts out tonight.
Yeah, give him credit. You know, he kept him. I thought the reason why they won this game is because Paul George was wonderful in the first half. He didn't let the Jazz build up an insurmountable lead at home. They only led by 5 at halftime. You know, Marcus Morris, he had another great game. He had 25, postseason career high. Reggie Jackson, once again. Terrence Mann, this is what you need. I don't know if Kawhi is going to be able to play in this series. I think that's still up in the air. And I give Ty Lue a lot of credit because I think he's great at adjusting in a game. And if it's lineups, matchups, I thought they exposed Rudy Gobert. Like, it's weird when you say somebody's the defensive player of the year, but he's not a factor. You know, Ben Simmons, oh, he should be up there for defensive player of the year. Is he really a factor? Like, it seems like it's a silly award. Hey, he's the defensive player of the year. All right, we're just going to run a pick and roll, and then we'll take advantage of that. We'll neutralize him. And that's what they've done. Ben Simmons, he's a great defender. Can he guard Trae Young? Well, you know, no, not real. Philadelphia can't guard these small guys. And by the way, this isn't just on Ben Simmons. It's an embarrassment. Tobias Harris, you're getting paid big boy bucks. Joel Embiid is out there playing his heart out and probably shouldn't be out there. He's going to need knee surgery. But somebody's got to want to be the second best player on the floor for the Philadelphia 76ers. I mean, come on. You got to get somebody to step up. And the Hawks aren't going away. Like, once again, they don't know enough to be overmatched or nervous in a situation like that. They haven't been here. They're like, hey, let's go out. Let's play. When you're down that many points and you come back, it says a lot about both of these teams. And Doc Rivers, love Doc. Known Doc since he played in Atlanta. But Doc has got a resume of, you know, these kind of games in the postseason. He won the title with the Celtics, and that kind of washed away everything prior to it. But last night, you can't hold on to a 26-point lead? This happened a lot of times when he was with the Clippers. You know? But that was some interesting basketball last night. I stopped watching the Hawks and the 76ers. I think I tuned in. There might have been 2 minutes to go. And I went, you got to be kidding me. I thought it was a mere formality. And then all of a sudden, you watch the start of the Jazz and the Clippers, and the Jazz are just shooting the lights out. And I thought, can they continue to do that as a team? Can Paul George continue to do that as an individual? And I was betting on the Jazz doing that. And you're at home. The 76ers, you're at home. Both of these franchises could look back on these performances in Game 5 and say, what the hell just happened? Card-carrying member of the 76ers fan club, McLovin, you've been quiet all morning long.
Yeah, that was, you know, I flirt with other teams like the Bucks and the Nets, but that was painful last night. Brought back a lot of NFC Championship game meltdowns, a lot of Philadelphia losses through the years.
You know what? You bring up Philadelphia NFC title games. Andy Reid winning a Super Bowl wiped away all those losses he had. What was he, 1-5 in NFC title games?
I think he's 1-4.
1-4?
But actually, it could be 1-5.
Yeah, maybe.
There might have been a later one, too. But yeah, you're right. Actually, I think you're right. I'll double check that. But it felt like same old Philly. You know, there was that. But, you know, Philadelphia fans are much more comfortable in this position than actually winning games.
They're not good front runners here.
I have a poll question. Okay. Which of the three teams is kicking themselves the most? The Bucks losing to the Nets without Irving, the Sixers for losing the Hawks, or the Jazz for losing to the Kawhi-less Clippers?
Yeah, Paul.
I think I'm going to go Jazz. Maybe it's just recency, but the Jazz at home, not facing Kawhi Leonard, they've had a very good regular season. They look healthy, Mitchell, blah, blah, blah. And it looks like Kawhi may not play in the rest of the series, and they don't have to face the Lakers if they get past the Clippers. This would be a really tough one.
I don't think Donovan Mitchell is healthy. I think the ankle is bothering him. I saw that on a jump shot last night where he came down, he winced. He made it, but he winced. You don't have Mike Conley in there. But you're at home. You should still beat a Clipper team that is, you know, we don't know what Clipper team is going to show up. And Paul George steps up and has a big game. Although I think he's played pretty well. And I even go back to the bubble. I'm sympathetic to this. You know, depression is no joke. And I don't look at it and go, oh, come on, suck it up, get tough. He was affected in the during the pandemic in the bubble, and he said that. He had to talk to his therapist. Now, you never heard this before from any athletes until recently. You know, Kevin Love kind of exposed us to this, Ron Artest. You know, Brandon Marshall, the NFL wide receiver. And Paul George was honest. He said, look, I'm having problems in here. And to do what he's doing, and he's played well, and maybe he continues to play well. Sometimes when you have a better player or the star player, you don't know how to act. Like, you're still kind of figuring out, what do I need to do? Where do I need to be? And I think that this is something that Paul George is still trying to figure out. Because Kawhi, you know, Kawhi takes over in the postseason. Paul George, you know, is a complimentary player. But he, in his mind, still thinks he's an elite player. Now, he's proven that recently. But last night, he didn't have to worry about Kawhi. It was, let me just go out there. Let me have the ball. I'm going to be the man here. And he played well that way. Scottie Pippen was always comfortable playing in Michael's shadow. Like, what do you need me to do? I'll do it. Not everybody's like that. You know, Dwayne Wade let LeBron take over the Miami Heat. Like, you have to have that. And with Paul George last night, it was just, I don't need to defer to anybody. I'm taking shots. I'm the man. Run ISOs for me. And I'm going to win this for us. And you saw that last night. All right, we'll get to phone calls. We'll come up with a poll question here as well. Did want to talk to Chris Sims. He's got his quarterback rankings guaranteed to upset some quarterbacks there. And also what's going on, certainly with Green Bay, with Aaron Rodgers, and the Miami Dolphins with Tua Tagovailoa throwing 5 interceptions in practice. We'll talk to Chris Sims. He'll join us coming up a little bit later on here. And your phone calls back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Oh, what do we have here, Seton? Do we have Discover?
Yep.
Yep. Discover the Discover card. If you haven't discovered the Discover card yet, what are you waiting for? Every day I'm telling you about this credit card. It's accepted 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. So you can get used to hearing the word yes more often. This is what Discover does. Matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. No limit on how much you can earn. That's amazing. Learn more at discover.com/yes. That's discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. I was just checking on the Traeger grills. We got them fired up today. Grilled ribeye. Barbecue chicken nachos. Who's got it better than us?
Nobody.
This program brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. They go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales service, financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz Vans, built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Terry in New York leads us off. Terry, what's on your mind today?
Hey, how you doing today, Dan?
Good, sir.
Good. I was just going to say, yeah, Doc Rivers, man. Speaking of Doc Rivers, he does, man. In the playoffs, he loses a lot of 20-point leads, man. I was highly surprised that Philly hired him. I mean, you know, I love Doc as a person. He's a great guy. You know, I watch what he does. He's a great person. But coaches pass their prime, too, Dan. And before I go, Andy Reid. You mentioned Andy Reid. Man, was that the fastest fiery hire in NFL history as an NFL coach? I remember going on vacation. He got fired, and I came back from vacation, and he was hired. I go, what?
Andy Reid's got a great reputation in the NFL. He gets to the NFC title games. Now, you can say, well, he doesn't win those. You know, a lot of these owners will say, I'll take getting to the NFC title game, AFC title game. There's a lot of franchises that would accept that. But I think with Andy, winning a Super Bowl wipes away all of those NFC title game losses. Doc Rivers winning that one NBA Finals wiped away a lot of this. Dave Roberts winning a World Series. Clayton Kershaw winning a World Series. Then you wipe away what's happened previously. I should be talking more basketball, but Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk Live co-host, has got his quarterback list. And I'm always fascinated with this because Sims is not afraid. He'll put out this list, top 40 quarterbacks, and he's down to his top five. Actually, down to his top four, because I'm looking at the list here. Russell Wilson is five, Lamar Jackson six, Kyler Murray seven, Matthew Stafford eight, Dak Prescott nine, Tom Brady is 10. Let's bring in Chris Sims from Pro Football Talk Live. All right, give me the criteria for how you set up the rankings, Chris.
Sure. I got a, you know, 40 quarterbacks. It's basically my depth chart, Dan. That's how I do it. Everybody's playing on the same team. We're not taking the advantages of, oh, this guy has this or this coach or whatever. You know, it's the same team. It's the same coaches, and here's my depth chart 1 through 40 going into the 2021 season.
All right. We have some questions here.
Sure.
Who wants to start? Paulie, I'll let you start with Sims.
I don't know how obvious I want to go here. I guess I'll go obvious. So I have a better chance to win with Matthew Stafford as my quarterback than Tom Brady as my quarterback.
Well, yeah, I do believe that. Listen, Brady, hey, leadership – you know, what he brought to that team, it's really special. And I took that all into account. In fact, I bumped him up in front of people where I would go, they're more talented. They can do more on the field than he can. But for that scenario and what he did with Tampa, he was the perfect fit. They needed polish down there and all of those type of things. Yes, okay. But at the same time, there's a lot of issues, and like Tom Brady's game is not perfect. You know, and Matthew Stafford, don't get so blinded by, you know, Detroit Lions and their record and everything like that. That's the only thing I would argue with you there is, I mean, who did you think Detroit was supposed to beat last year? What on their roster was really that special that you think Matt Stafford was supposed to look so great and do all those type of things? You know, I can look at Tampa Bay and go, hey, they lost 5 losses in the regular season. You can legitimately look at all 5 and go, the main culprit in all 5 losses was Tom Brady. Let alone the NFC Championship game and those issues too. So Brady's awesome. His arm is still awesome. He makes very few plays off of schedule. He needs a certain type of support system around him right now, as to where I look at some of these other guys and go, they don't need it and they can still make things happen and go that way. It's a tough one. And I know that's the one that everybody looks at. And nobody's happy unless I make Brady 1 or 2. That's the only thing I can make happy, make everybody happy with.
No, I wouldn't put him there. But I would put him ahead
of...
Yeah,
you put him ahead of those guys,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, I would.
Sure.
You don't like Jared Goff at all. Man, you got him 31. You got 3 rookies ahead of him. You
right.
got Jameis Winston. You got Taysom Hill ahead of Jared Goff.
Yeah. You know, Jared Goff, you know, tell me, what am I signing up for? You know, is it Sean McVay's offense? I don't know. But I mean, again, with Jared Goff, there's experience, certainly, but not the experience where I would like to see it to be for a guy that's played as long as he has and been to the Super Bowl. You know, there's just too many plays when you watch it and reevaluate where I go, man, bad decision. You know, not understanding the full scope of the game. Hey, it's a bootleg. It's 3rd and 1. You know, nobody's open. And go run for the first down. And he throws the ball away or, like, tries to throw the ball into double coverage. You know, that to me concerns me, let alone, like, not great ability. You know, nothing he does off schedule to help the football team that way. Not a top-tier thrower of the football. And, you know, yeah, so, yes, I look at it that way. And let's not forget, Dan, they were doing everything they could in life to start John Wolford at the end of the year. They did not want to start Jared Goff.
That's true.
That was because the play was not good. So, you know, yeah, that's where I stand with him right now.
All right, McLovin, your question for Sims.
Okay, you have Kyler Murray at number 7, the Cardinals quarterback. Yeah. If he's the 7th best quarterback and he has all these Hall of Famers everywhere on this roster and all this talent, how come nobody thinks the Cardinals are going to do anything this year? They're generally considered the 4th best team in that division.
Yeah, I agreed, you know, but it's not all about the quarterback. You know, let's stop that. Stop, you know, McLovin, I know. You know, he makes them considerably better, in my opinion. You know, they're one of the top rushing offenses in football. Not because their O-line is great or their running back's great. It's because Kyler Murray's unbelievable at scrambling, the threat he has to run with the quarterback design, run plays, or the read options. That opens up everything. I'm not so sure he's not, like, the most responsible out of, like, all quarterbacks as far as improving their offense or making it look a lot better than it really is. You know, their scheme itself is nothing special. I break this down on my podcast all the time. If, you know, we do DeAndre Hopkins, his route combinations. I mean, it's limited. It's a lot of that spread 4 wide. It's a little predictable. And he is the reason it goes. So, yeah, we'll see. Can A.J. Green help them out? You know, we'll see if Larry Fitzgerald plays and all those things. But he's a special, special talent. That, you know, it's hard to always quantify his effect on the game or qualify it, you know, through stats because of the pressure he does put on your defense because of his skill set.
Yes, Todd, you got a question?
So, Chris, you have Drew Lock at 33, a lot higher up on the board than I thought. So there's some positivity I should have. If they can't get Aaron Rodgers, there's hope for Denver to chase Kansas City.
Drew Lock has, like, Fritzy, some big-time top-end talent. Like, I am excited about the positives. If we sat all down together and watched Drew Lock the positives, we'd all go, whoa, man, yeah, you're right. He is a little better. Makes a little more, you know, makes more plays than I thought. He does have an explosive arm. He is a pretty good athlete. The big thing, as you know, Fritzy, because I know you're a Broncos fan, he's got to take that, like, Brett Favre element out of his game. Not every throw has to be a 25-yard laser in between 4 people to fit it in there.
And that's enough. That's enough. Okay. That's enough talk about the Broncos.
Okay.
Come on.
Shut up, Fritzy.
You got Ryan Tannehill ahead of Baker Mayfield. Ryan Tannehill at number 12, Baker Mayfield. Do you like Baker Mayfield, or you just tolerate Baker Mayfield?
No, I do like Baker Mayfield. I do. To me, last year was a huge year for him. Like, showed progress, like, maturity on and off the field. And the one thing that just really popped to me was how many high level, high degree of difficulty throws Baker Mayfield made during the year, especially the second half of the year. You know, he's got a great innate ability to where I don't call him a great runner, but he's a great mover. You know, he hops around the pocket and he can make throws kind of from weird angles, or he's got a bootleg and the defense ends there to get him and he kind of makes a move and breaks his ankle and still gets to throw. Or, you know, he's running full speed on a bootleg and there's Jarvis Landry 25 yards downfield and he's open by 3 inches and man, he rips it in there and doesn't think twice and throws it perfectly. So it's an offense that's not necessarily always quarterback friendly with all these crazy things they do. They ask their quarterback to make big time explosive throws and he fixed his mechanics last year. He played the game better and he made a number of big time plays to help their team win football games.
We're talking to Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk Live. Is number one on the list going to be controversial?
No. No, I will say my top four, as you know, I have not revealed that yet, and that will be Monday. And if you guys want to have me back next week to talk about it or whatever, I do think there's going to be one here in the top four that's going to, people are going to go, whoa, okay. So that's all I'll say to that to tease it. But this is it's a tough exercise, as you can imagine. I'm just setting myself up to get crapped on by everybody. and I deal with it every year. But you know.
But you ask for this, Chris.
I do. Well, and NBC asks me to do it. Oh. I don't ask. I don't go, hey, let's do it. But it's part of what I do. And I do enjoy it to a degree. It helps me get better feel for the quarterbacks and you know, kind of have that jump off point for the next year. And the other thing you realize, Dan, there's a lot of damn good quarterbacks in football right now. A lot of them. There really is, and it's about the support system and to see how good they're going to be.
You got Tua Tagovailoa 34th.
Yeah.
There's only 32 teams, so he's not good enough to start, in your opinion.
Well, he's not one of the 32 best the way I see it right now. Yeah, there's question marks, certainly. I mean, you saw last year. Again, it was good, but they had to micromanage him. You know, and then whenever they had to let it loose, we got to take him out. We got to put Ryan Fitzpatrick in. He's admitted he didn't know the offense as well. He didn't make that many plays with his right arm or anything like that. You know, so yeah, I have a lot of questions, you know, and that's the one that seems to be the most polarizing. People think I hate Tua. I root for him. I like the guy. He's charismatic as hell. There's no doubt about it. But yeah, there's nothing to write home about last year to where I go, man, that's special. And he's ready to jump into the top 20. I got to see more and to believe that.
So Mahomes will be one.
You're funny.
Aaron Rodgers is two.
I'm not telling you anything.
What about his mindset? Is he totally committed to playing football here?
I don't know. You'll have to do.
He's in love. He wants to do Jeopardy.
Right.
I don't know. Where's his mind?
Well, maybe Chris Sims took that into account. Maybe you should watch my podcast on Monday and I'll explain all these answers to you.
Where is Deshaun Watson? He's not even on the board.
Well, he's going to be in those top four. He's coming up. Yeah, I mean, I'm not avoiding him right now. I mean, I know
You got Deshaun Watson, one of the top four quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
Yes, I do. Yes, without a doubt. No doubt. Yes, he is a superstar.
So Josh Allen's going to be there. Aaron Rodgers, yep. Patrick Mahomes.
You got the four that are left.
Deshaun,
that's right.
Watson. Okay.
Yeah. Watson probably had the best year of his career last year. Now, it didn't translate to wins or losses.
Yeah.
I get that. But, I mean, it's horrible defense, no run game, no receivers. You know, they were highly competitive in a lot of games where I'd go, man, if they didn't have Deshaun Watson, this game would be 40-7. They would be getting killed. And here they were in the fourth quarter with a chance to win, or, you know, somebody snaps the ball low when he's on the 1 yard line. You know, he can't do everything. So that's part of the exercise. It is tough. But yeah, I look at Watson as certainly being one of the four best quarterbacks in the league right now.
I think you jumped on my Matthew Stafford bandwagon MVP choice. I think you did.
I'm excited for Stafford because Stafford has been in like my top 10 almost every year I do this, and people always just can't get over it. And it's, you know, again, it's just man, bad offense. No great offensive coordinators his whole career. I know he had Megatron. It was him and Megatron. Apparently those two were supposed to win every game by themselves. I get that. You know, no 1,000-yard rushers. The talent is real. It's one of the greatest arms ever. It's still one of the most game-changing arms we've ever seen. And still at this point it is. And I think this year, now with the support, McVay's offense, some receivers, a run game, I hear you. Like, that's to me the smart bet. If you want to bet low and get a huge grand prize for MVP, Matt Stafford would be one of those I would recommend to anybody.
You got Ben Roethlisberger down the list here. Should they have drafted a quarterback first round instead of a running back?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, where they were sitting there, of course, they would have had to have made some sort of move to get a quarterback. I think that's why they did sign Dwayne Haskins in the offseason to take a, you know, let's take a deeper look at him. Mm. Maybe he could be the guy of the future. But I think ultimately, Dan, with like Pittsburgh, they looked at it like, wait, we're closer to the top than the bottom. This is not a rebuild. Our team is kind of ready. And I would imagine, and it sounds like if you listen to anything they're saying, they got to be looking at Tampa. Look at Tampa, you know, with Brady. You know, yeah, you got some good receivers. You can't ask Ben to throw the ball, you know, every play 45 times a game and then not be able to run or scare anybody else with that. So they got to go to that formula, in my opinion. Run the ball, play action, protect him up so he doesn't have to worry, and he'll still dice you up with his right arm, but he's not going to make plays or carry the team anymore if they're going to ask him to be in the shotgun and do it that way all game long.
It's good to talk to you again.
And always.
And I hope you get a whole lot of grief coming up next week.
Oh, no, don't worry. I think it's, you know, it's peaked. I honestly, there's the crazy thing. When I made Brady 10, I was like, man, people will probably be happy about this. This is good. This gets some people off my back. I think it's the worst reaction I've gotten in years out of anybody. I am getting absolutely killed.
Wait, what's the worst reaction you had gotten prior to putting Tom Brady 10th on your list?
Well, I mean, it's probably another Tom Brady, you know, ranking of like putting him at 9 a few years ago or something like that. It's usually that between the New England fans.
You're still upset because you were there as a teammate of Tom Brady's. You were jealous of Tom.
That's what everybody says. I know I was jealous. Yeah, he was mean to me, all of those type of things. And I know nobody can believe that I actually really like the guy and have tremendous respect. But yes, that's the way I see it at age 43, where he is right now. He's still awesome. Obviously, he can win a Super Bowl. But I don't think he's as good or better than some of those guys I got in front of him. No, I don't.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Dan. Good, guys. See ya.
That's Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk Live, NBC Sports. Take a break. Play of the day up next here on The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, my God.
The play.
The play is called play.
Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
They're going to play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Gallo backing his way in. Double team. Gets it out to Lou. Lou fakes. Now it's down to 5. They go back to Gallo. Gallo turns. Shoots the right-hander. And hits it. Danilo Gallinari knocks it down. It's 107-104. Hawks lead by 3.
That's courtesy of the game, Hawks Radio Network. Gallinari helping them come back from 26 points down. He contributed 16 off the bench as Atlanta pulled off the NBA's third biggest playoff comeback in the last 25 years. Play of the day brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. Father's Day coming up. You can get a great gift set at dollarshaveclub.com/Patrick. And it's the Dollar Shave Club 6-Blade Razor, perfect for that extra close, precise shave. DollarShaveClub.com/Patrick. Yes, Paulie.
We were watching on the Golf Channel. They're getting ready to tee off Torrey Pines, U.S. Open.
Yeah.
Mickelson's out there.
Yeah.
I got a Phil Mickelson-related question for you.
Okay.
And pretend you're Phil.
Okay.
I think he has 3 Masters wins, 2 PGA wins, British Open or the Open Championship he won once. He's finished tied for second in the U.S. Open, I think, 6 times. This is his home course. He's 51 years old. Okay. If I gave Phil Mickelson a deal, you could win this U.S. Open at your home course, but you are somehow injured late in the round and you don't really play competitive golf again, maybe seniors tour or whatever, but your career is basically over. You could sign up for winning the U.S. Open now, or you could take your chances.
So he'd get the career Grand Slam.
Home course.
But he doesn't get to play competitively on the PGA Tour again.
Yeah, it's kind of over. He moves on to being one of those seniors golfers.
Hmm.
Now, we posed this question years ago to Curt Schilling. You asked him if he could be healthy for the World Series, pitch, win it for the Red Sox, rip up his ankle, and never play baseball again. He goes, sign me up. Give me the sheet.
Uh-huh.
So what do you think?
I would think that Mickelson would take that.
You take the deal, not take his chances.
That he would take the title. That he would take the U.S. Open and he doesn't play competitively again on the PGA Tour. Then you got the career Grand Slam. You finally won the U.S. Open. Yes, McLovin.
Right. If it was any other tournament, say I said, yeah, if I give you next year's PGA, he wouldn't do it. But this circumstance is what the difference is?
He's had so much heartbreak. And this is his home course, and to be able to win and go back-to-back off the PGA Championship, yeah, he probably would. I think getting that career Grand Slam is really important. You know, you have Rory that we've been waiting for him to do it, but at his age, at age 51, yeah, Seton.
But just to play devil's advocate, do you think he's really thinking this weekend would be it? You know what I mean? Like, ready to let it all go? If this hypothetical situation was...
Well, how many U.S. Opens do you think he has left in him where he can be one of the favorites? That's probably... You have to do the math there, and maybe, I don't know, top 10?
But after he won the PGA, he was like, I don't know, maybe this is the start of a run I'm about to go on.
Yeah, could
you
be.
Know? So his mindset seems to be about... more about longevity than it might appear.
Well, it's also where the older you get, the more unlikely it is for you to string together 4 great rounds. You know, when you're younger and you get on a roll and, you know, Phil, a lot has to go right for Phil Mickelson to win this tournament. A lot had to go right for him to win the PGA Championship. And those you're playing against, is anybody going to have a career weekend? You also have to, you know, kind of factor that in as well. Is Xander Schauffele going to finally win a major? John Rahm going to win a major? John Rahm, who had to famously bow out of the memorial, what's his mindset? He's going to hear all these questions about, you know, COVID and are you vaccinated and, you know, can you remain focused? That's a long golf course, too. You know, the scenery is beautiful. I didn't love the course just because it was tough. You know, it's interesting how that is, where this course is too. I didn't think Augusta was difficult, but I'm playing it from the members tees. There's no gallery around. There's nothing that intimidates you. And I had a great caddy. So you can kind of get around and not feel overwhelmed. Torrey Pines, you're going, how many yards I got left? You got 275. And this is a par 4? Yep. So Torrey Pines it's a long slog. Yes, McLovin.
Is that why you see old guys like Fred Couples or someone who might have a great first round and we talk about them, but then they sort of fade? Because you can do, if you're old, you can put a good round together, but not 4?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, where Tom Watson was able to do that and nearly won. You know, that it's really hard to do that. And I think that's what's rare about this. Plus, I mean, Phil still has power. And to be able to do that and keep up with the big boys. And that's really important to Phil. Because I think Phil will eventually take over for Nick Faldo on CBS. Like, my feeling is Phil eventually takes over. And from what I was told, Phil still wants to be able to compete at the majors and certainly at the Masters. And the, you know, that's the tricky part. You know, the CBS carries the Masters. Can he compete and still do his job? And, you know, that might be one of those things where if you're CBS, you say, let's roll the dice. Our main analyst is going to be playing in the tournament. Yes, Eden.
You say Phil still has power. He hit a ball 366 yards at PGA. That's a hell of a poke.
Yes, it is. But, you know, they trick up these fairways where they're like bowling alleys. You just get them going. They have these slots, these speed slots, that if you hit in a certain place and it hits and then it goes. Do we have a mention with Callaway there, Seton?
Yeah.
Because I should have that. I think I might have it in my... here it is in my filing system.
That's where you put all of my important papers there.
Yes. Yeah. The new Epic driver that Phil will have in his bag. They have one for just about everybody. They got all the jailbreak speed frame technology there. Epic Max, the Epic Speed, which is what I use. And the better players use the Epic Max LS, capitalizing on the tour's preferred combination of low spin, high stability. Check out the Epic family of drivers, CallawayGolf.com/Epic. Epic. We got a poll question, McLevin?
Yeah, I put up the question, which team is going to be kicking itself the most, the Sixers, the Bucks, or the Jazz? Sixers are running away with it. Maybe recency bias.
Yeah, probably
I think the Bucks
so.
Would have been yesterday.
Yes, that's true. 30 years ago today, Payne Stewart won his second major of the U.S. Open, and the low amateur was a kid named Phil Mickelson. Pretty amazing. But you also had those two going toe-to-toe. That was Father's Day weekend with, and that's when Phil's wife, Amy, I think, was due to have their first child. And that's when Payne talked about how you're going to get your chances to win majors. And I'm paraphrasing here, but I remember part of that conversation, or at least, you know, they retold that years later. Let's see. Oh, Ted in Tampa is here. Hi, Ted. What's on your mind today?
Hey, DP. Everything. We just got back from overseas, and in the gym this morning, we were watching the highlights from the last 2 weeks. So I've got we sit down real quick, but between about six of us, we put together a really good limerick.
Oh God. Okay. Ted, give us your limerick today.
Okay. Fritzy's banner highlights DP's show, even when Dan gets coffee to go. So splat of the day was the best way to say, suck it, right Cedars, both rows.
All right. Thank you, Ted. Thank you, Ted. Yeah, this limerick thing is really catching on.
I'll tell you.
Yeah, not good limericks, but the limerick thing is really catching. There's no other show in America doing limericks. Yes, Paul.
He said he and his pal spent a lot of time on
that. Yes, they did. Like a lot of guys spent a lot of time on that.
Yeah, possibly too much time.
Yeah, think if they didn't spend time on it.
And then what do we get to rhyme with splat? Oh, yeah, that'll be great. Yeah.
Suck at Cedar's right side is clever, though. I'm like, cedar? Like the wood? Oh, no, people sit in.
Yes, Todd.
Should we be looking at a Lime Ricky kind of show drink that goes like for limerick, Lime Ricky? Is there anything there?
No. See, these are things where we workshop. We talk about them during the commercial
break. It's like the exact word, but a drink. With a
I know, but I have to protect you from you. If I make it, will you drink it?
I would take a sip.
A Lime Ricky.
Yeah, I would have a little.
Limericky. It's still lame, Rick. Lame, Rick. All right, 1 hour in the books, two more to go. Seton Pauly, Fritzy McLovin, yours truly, right here on the Dan Patrick Show. One more item. We close out the first hour with M-Drive. Try M-Drive, boost and burn. You can go to the website, mdrivedan.com. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Nothing to lose except for some unwanted pounds. You also get some energy, an energy boost that you need. Summer's here, travel plans, getting outside, warmer weather, and more daylight. So get out. This is packed with clinically tested ingredients. M-Drive Boost and Burn will help build lean muscle and burn that body fat. You get a chance to look your best. You get lean. You get strong. You get MDriveDan.com, and you are set to go. Now, you can also pick up MDrive Boost and Burn at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Vitamin Shoppe. Or go to the website, mdrivedan.com. Tough to keep the weight off as you get older, but fight back with mDrive Boost and Burn. Get ready for everything that summer's going to bring, because you're bringing it back. Go to mdrivedan.com. Don't let age beat you. Make sure you refine your prime with mDrive.